Recorded Books presents Even Though I Knew the End by C.L. Polk. Narrated by January Lavoie. Act 1. 1. Marlowe had offered me $50 to stand out here in the freezing Chicago cold and do an augury. And like a damn greedy fool, I said yes. I'd computed the ideal time for the operation with Marlowe still on the telephone, flipping between my calculations on scratch paper and an ephemeris. I had to shake a leg to make it to the crime scene during the moon's Chaldean hour, the best window for divination with the dead. $50 is a comfortable sum, and I had foolishly believed I could earn it in time to enjoy my last weekend with Edith. Naturally, everything was going wrong. It was Luna's fault. Moonlight sparkled off freshly smashed light bulbs. It glittered on the wet asphalt underfoot, casting my shadow over the cleanest patch of back alley you ever saw behind a butcher shop. I held up the plumb of a pendulum and tried again. Spirit of this departed woman, speak with me. The plumb did nothing. That wasn't right. Kelly McIntyre's spirit should still be linked to her death place. A mediocre spiritualist can talk to the dead for 3 days, no matter where they end up, and I was a little better than that. She ought to be batting that silver weight around like a kitten, falling over herself to tell me what happened to her. But the pendulum hung straight down, unnaturally still, as if no one had died in this alley. Complications. I didn't need complications. I didn't have time for them. My camera hung around my neck, the bellowed lens stopped at its widest, the shutter tension open and slow. Marlowe would have to settle for scene photos if it ever got dark enough to take them. I tilted my head back. Luna flirted around on the edge of a cloud, but didn't quite slip coyly behind it. She looked down at me in the alley, not caring that I was freezing to death. Come on, little lady, I muttered at the sky. Give a girl a break, would you? I shouldn't even be out here, but Marlowe not only jumped to more than double my usual fee, she promised that I would find it interesting. So far, I hadn't seen anything to merit Marlowe's opinion. More importantly, I had a date in 2 hours, and I couldn't skulk around this alley much longer. I dropped the pendulum in my breast pocket and stuffed my numbing hands under the arms eyes of my coat. I looked up at the moon again. I mean it, lady. Scram. And for a wonder, she did. The silver light dimmed as Luna drifted behind that cloud she'd been flirting with for the last 18 minutes. Time to step on the juice and get out of here. Off came my gloves. I cut the little finger of my left hand, hissing as blood welled up. I held out my hand and spoke. Blood, join with blood, and reveal it. 3 drops fell to the cracked asphalt between my feet, landing on the sigil I'd painted there with a solution of radium paint and the spores of a Japanese phosphorescent mushroom picked on a moonless night. The spell worked by pairing the principles of contagion and sympathy. My blood activated the luminescent properties of the radium and the living glow of the fungus, connecting it to the blood that had been spilled. You know what? Let's skip the explanation. The ground beneath my feet glowed, spreading from the tiny droplets I had spilled to fill the alley in obscene greenish detail, exactly the color of the hands on a glow-in-the-dark clock. Or a fairy mushroom. Blood doesn't unspill easily. It marks the places it touches. The cops scrubbed really hard, but you can't wash it all away. I hadn't had a chance to test this spell, but it's not bad work for a gal who wasn't supposed to know anything more dangerous than the computation of Chaldean hours and a smattering of astrology. The flare of pride at my successful spell design dampened as I saw what the enchantment revealed. The crime scene was straight out of a nightmare. Blood painted the walls, not an obscene
Sample complete. Ready to continue?